Book of John tonight, please. Book of John, chapter number 13. What we look at here is the beginning of what some call the Olivet Discourse, a series of teaching the Lord Jesus Christ gave from the upper room to the Mount of Olives. And what wondrous words we find here, 13 through 16. I'm going to read the first 17 verses of this chapter together tonight. John chapter 13, verses 1 down to verse 17. One of the most beautiful pictures in my mind is painted right here in this chapter when it comes to service to others and humility that must be involved with service. Let's look here. It says, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that His hour was come, that He should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved His own which were in the world, He loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray Him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into His hands, and that He was come from God and went to God, He riseth from supper, and laid aside His garments, and took a towel, and girded Himself. After that He poureth water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith He was girded. Then cometh He to Simon Peter, and Peter said to Him, Lord, dost Thou wash My feet? Jesus answered and said to him, What I do Thou knowest not now, but Thou shalt know hereafter. Peter said to Him, Thou shalt never wash My feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with Me. Simon Peter saith unto Him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Peter was impetuous, you know that? He was like some of us. He spoke before he thought. His foot was in his mouth quite often. Well, let's notice here. So after he had... let me go back to verse 11. For he knew who should betray Him. Therefore, said he, You're not all clean. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye not what I have done to you? Remember what Jesus just said to him. He said, You're going to know after a bit. Now after he got finished, now he's going to teach them something. He says, Ye call Me Master and Lord, and ye say well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. Wow. Great words. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank You for this segment of Your Bible. We pray You might bless tonight. Open our hearts and our minds to it. Glorify Yourself. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Oftentimes when we get in positions of authority, we begin to get a big head about ourselves. We begin to think that we're really somebody. When we need to always remember that really it's a position of service. And the Lord Jesus Christ, He's God. The Lord Jesus is God who came in the flesh to die for us. He is over us. He made us. I mean, in every way possible, He is our authority. And yet the Lord tries to make something very clear, and that is, He came to serve. Matter of fact, we know that He came to die, but He came to serve. He came to seek us out. And He's saying here, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. He said, you know, when we are in this work of God, it's not who's greater that matters. And we need to have a humble spirit about it. And what a great picture we have here as we see our Lord and Savior, the Creator of heaven and earth, getting down on His knees with a wash basin and some water and washing the disciples' feet. Now, I realize that was a custom in their day to wash the feet of those who just came from the dusty highways and so forth, and it was something that would be done, but yet it was an act of humility. I know some churches who take this in a very literal sense, and they practice what's they call an ordinance. I don't think it's an ordinance, but they practice foot washing. And some of you might remember the Terrys and the churches that they've gone to. That's what they did. So one day I was asking Brother Terry, I says, what is it about that? Why is that so significant and why do you do it? And he says, well, we don't look at it as an ordinance, but he said, we look at it this way. He says, an act of humility. He says, there's nothing quite the same as, and he said, we put the women on one side of the church and the men on the other side. And he says, nothing like getting a wash rag and a towel and getting down on your hands and your knees in front of another man and washing his feet. He says, there's nothing quite as humbling as that and recognizing our true position when it comes to the things of God. And I thought, wow, what a neat, wonderful picture. And ever since that day I talked to him, when I read this scripture, it just jumps out at me. And we look here, and we just see humility all over it. I think about people who work with children, and I think about Sunday school teachers and some of our Master Club workers, and some of the things that they do as they're working with those kids. And sometimes they're down on the floor with them and crawling around on the floor. They're doing this and they're doing that. And, you know, whatever it might be with those kids and junior church, Sunday school, whatever it is. And just having that time with them and being in that position with them. And I think about the humilities there. I think about a scripture found in Galatians chapter 5. Let me read this. It says, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even of this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. I look at those verses and I begin to put all of it together. And he's talking about walking in the Spirit. And he's talking about as they would what? Show that kind of love one to another and as they would serve one another. Interesting to me as I think of those things and put that together in my heart and my mind. And really, what is God trying to teach us? The motive for our service is very important. And when we have that love inside, what a wonderful thing that is. Motive, by the way, will help us to look past our inabilities. It'll take us past our infirmities and reach out to other folks in ways that we sometimes don't imagine we could actually do. In the book of Romans, it said this way, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. And so those who are walking strong with God, what is their desire? To reach out to those who in many ways are weaker than they, that they might lift him up, they might build him, and they might bring him, as he says in those verses, to edification. Service to others requires a thing called humility. Look at verse 15 and 16 again. I have given you as an example, that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. Humility. How we must be in that humble spot. Did you know humility is a choice? Now, God can humble us, but I've seen God work in my life at times, and I wasn't willing to let Him humble me. And until I'm willing to make that choice, it just doesn't happen. In verse number 14, he says, if I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. What's he saying? You've got the choice to do that. I look back at Joshua. And Joshua's coming to the end of his time, and he's challenging the people of God. And he's about to die and to go to be with the Lord. And he says this, "And it seemed evil unto you to serve the Lord. Choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Every dad worth his salt is going to lead his family to serve. And Joshua, he made that very clear. And it's a choice that you and I, we have that privilege to make. Elisha, he does something very similar as he is doing contests with the servants of Baal. And when he's done, he said to the people, "How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him." And the people answer him not a word. He's saying, you've got a choice to make. Go with me to Colossians chapter 3 for a moment. Colossians 3. You may not follow where I'm headed yet, but I hope you can catch on here. Colossians chapter 3. And I'm going to start in... I'm going to go back to verse 16. I'm headed down especially to verse 23 where it says, "Whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men." And if you notice that verse, it starts with "and." So it's connecting it with the previous section. And notice what that previous section is talking about. I'll start in verse 16. "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him." Let me remind you, in the book of Ephesians chapter 5, the sister text to this, it doesn't say let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. There we find that it talks about that we would be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And the very same results, or that which follows it, is what's following here. Teaching, admonishing in songs, and giving thanks to the Lord, and submission. You find the very same things in those verses. Now, verse number 18. "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men-pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men." Now, the point we're wanting to make here is that whatever we do ought to be to whom? To the Lord. Whatever it is. Whatever you do, it's going to be either for you, for others, or for the Lord. Now, it can be to others and be for the Lord. It can also be to ourselves and be to the Lord. For instance, you need rest, don't you? And so you can, you know, you need rest and that the body might be ready to go for the Lord. But I want you to notice, he connects this back with these previous verses. And so these things with these individuals, and especially with family and those that are close to us, "and whatsoever things ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord." And so we have here something I think is very important, and that is, whatever we do, it's for God. And though it is to other people, and though it might be something that is beneficial to ourselves, like rest, though it might be something that's for another individual, ultimately it is always to be what? As unto the Lord. Now, I have a question for you. Can you do church work not as unto the Lord? Can you actually get involved in church work as unto self, as rather than as unto the Lord? I think the answer is obvious to that. Yes, we can. We can sometimes do that for our own glory. as opposed for the glory of God. But what does God want us to do? God wants to do it for His glory, for His honor. We're to have a servant's heart. But that servant's heart needs to have what? The right kind of motive. And so everything we do, everything we buy, everything that is involved in our life is ultimately to Him. It is for His wondrous glory. Service involves something else. If you're going to walk with the Lord, if you're going to be walking in the Spirit, there's something that always goes with your spirit. Have you noticed wherever you go, your body goes? How do you play the piano? With the body, the hands. Having the right spirit is very important, as you well know. Because it does something in the rest. But what? It's with the body. It's involved with that. I find that interesting when I stop and think about what it says in Romans chapter number 12. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present what? Your bodies. A living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So your service, that which is self-sacrificing, that which is giving of yourself to others, that which is humbling yourself to do the work of God, it involves your body. I want to suggest something to you tonight. One of the reasons that you need the armor of God so desperately in your life is the devil wants to destroy your body. Let me ask you a question. When you get tired, how do you become? How many are just happy as can be when you're tired? Huh? Some people get giddy. I get crabby. I see mother and daughter over there pointing fingers at each other. Yeah. Fatigue. I think the devil, by the way, in the 21st century is very good at fatiguing his people. Or fatiguing God's people. Because we don't get proper rest. Now, there's few of God's people that get too much rest. But, there's some don't. But he throws fatigue at us. Something I find he does is tries to frustrate us. How good are you for God when you get frustrated? Another one, I got F's here. Fatigue and frustration. Another one is futility. It ain't worth it. And we get in that kind of thing. We can't allow weariness and failures and depressions to grip us. No wonder we need that armor of God. No wonder we need the Word of God dwelling in us richly, as He says in Colossians 3:16. That is the need of the hour. It's interesting that we will do so many things for our soul, we'll do so many things for our body, but we don't allow that Word to just indwell us as it ought to give us that stability. But it involves the body. And a weakened body, listen, it's difficult to serve the Lord. But here's the other side of that. When we're walking with the Lord and we're walking close to the Lord, then we also recognize something else, as Paul did. When I'm weak, then am I strong? It was one more Sunday morning setting up here. I wasn't feeling good. And I was kind of feeling sorry for myself. And I'm sitting there and I'm saying, God, I'm just too weak today. And that verse hit me. When I'm weak, then am I strong. And I said, Lord, I have no choice but to claim that today. And God then can give us that kind of strength. Service involves the body, and you and I, we need to what? We need to walk close to God that He might keep us in the right repair. But I think about service. I think about the Lord Jesus Christ. I think about His ability to humble Himself and to do the things that He did and what He wants us to do and humbling ourselves and serving people for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was consistent. He was consistent. Could you say you could count on the Lord? Sure. You could count on Him. It didn't matter what. You could count on Him. You know, isn't it a marvelous thing when somebody could know that if they call upon you, you'll be there? I mean, that's a marvelous thing. And that's what we need in our lives, just to be available always. Somebody said this, the greatest ability you can have is availability. Being available to serve people. We're not here to be served, but to serve. I tell you what, it really makes a difference going to church. If we come to get served, and we will get served, it's not going to be near as good as if we come to serve. Some people go to church to be entertained. I go to entertain. I hope you don't take that wrong. Yeah, you are. I'm trying to say it in this light. I don't go to get served, I go to serve. Okay? I don't go to get sung to, though I do, I go to sing. I don't go to, you know, hear somebody pray, but to pray. I get to hear people pray. And those are the kinds of things I'm talking about. We get involved in that, and we're available to God. Man, I tell you what, it's a great, great life to have. But we got to be willing to what? Be servants. Be servants. When I was going to Bible college, there was three men that had a tremendous impact on my life. One of them, I was within a few yards of where he died 3 weeks ago. On the shores of Costa Rica, he'd went in swimming. Didn't know there's riptides there. And we never have gone in the water there. Though there were people out there. He went in, one grabbed him. He was about 70 years of age, and it took him out. And he was strong at 70, but he didn't know how to combat it. And he drowned. But I remember one time, and I knew this would be true about him, he was talking about how he went to pick up this famous preacher at the airport. And he said, I opened up my trunk, and he said, I forgot. He said it was full of tools. He said I had shovels and hammers and sledgehammers and saws and all sorts of stuff in my trunk because they had been doing some major work at their church. And so he just had his trunk full of tools. And he was so embarrassed about that. As he opened the trunk up to start to throw this fellow's luggage in there. And he had to close the trunk and go to the back door and put it in the back door. And the fellow he picked up looked at him and he said something to him. I don't know the exact words, but he said something like this. There, or you are a man who loves God and doesn't think that he's too big to serve him however he needs to be served. Paid him a tremendous compliment. and thought it was wonderful when he saw all those tools. I remembered that little comment. And I remember how Dr. Vanaman was in school and how he gave himself into everything. None of us are as important as we think in stature and status and all those things. We're just people that God wants to use if we're willing to get down on our hands and our knees and pick up the washcloth and wipe somebody's stinky, smelly feet. Isn't that a beautiful picture? But that's what my Savior did. And I should never be too good to do that either. Let's pray tonight. Father, thank you that you so loved us and you came to this world. You left the glories of heaven to come to this sin-embattled world. Not only to get down upon your knees, but to hang as a sinner, condemned, as the lowliest of the low, even between two thieves. Oh God, that we might be servants for you. Bless and work in our hearts. Use us. Let us never think we're too good to be used or too big or too important. And may you be glorified through it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you tonight.